Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We're at the very, very top of the Amid where the Gemara begins. Bo'i Rava Bebori Heich. What is this referring to? So you recall we've been learning over the last couple of days the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Ben
Broika.
Rabbi Yochanan Broika says that a person is allowed min hatoyra to prefer one child over another within the set of those that are re'uyim liyarshai. So if he has a bunch of sons, for instance, who are all royally arshai, and he decides to go and prefer one of those sons over the other sons, or if a person has no sons, he only has daughters, and he decides to prefer one daughter over the other daughters, he's allowed to do it based on a pasuk v'hoya b'yoyim hanchiloi as bonav, where the Torah says a person has a right to manchil libanav. So, in our Mishnah and in the Gemara didn't distinguish between, or didn't define, when did the person decide to go and give this preference for one ben over the other banim, or one bas over the other banis. So the Gemara says, logically, it could very well be that we're talking about a situation of, we could be talking about a situation of a Shchimra, because by Shchimra there's a possible boy beyond Manchilah as Banav. Esa Sheyilai. The question is, what's the story with a Bari? Now that was the question that was posed already yesterday. If you go back to Kuf Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph, yesterday's daf, you'll notice on the second line, Boy Rava Bibari Heich Ki Ka'omer B'yechim Abraik B'Shchimra Dibar Urusihu. He is in the parasha of giving Yerusha, being Morish. Unfortunately, his days are numbered. And you remember we had a discussion back and forth between Nosson HaBavli, who is Reb Nosson, who's the Yesh Oimrim in Masech Tzoriyos, as our brother Barry has demonstrated so beautifully. And he had a discussion with the Biyud HaNasi, and Lamaisa the Gemara came out at the end, Shmamina Afilu B'Bari, that the din of preferring one child over the other applies not only to a Shchimra, but also a Bari, and they brought a raya from the din of Banin Dichrin. Later in yesterday's blot, we had a new discussion. And this had to do with a person who gave away all of his nechasim to his wife, and or he gave all of his nechasim to one of his sons. Why would he do that? Give everything away to his wife, everything away to one of his sons? And the Gemara says, the intent was not to give an outright present, but rather to appoint them as aputrapsim. Why to appoint them as aputrapsim? Because they wanted that the other children, in the case of the wife, that the children, and in the case of the sons, that the other sons should go and give a degree of respect to the person who's in charge of the purse strings, so they know, oh, I need money, they'll be nice, and they'll be kind, and they'll be generous, so therefore to go and be mechabedah. And now the Gemara asks the same question that we just finished off with, the question that have by Rabbi Yochanan and Braika, we're asking here too. When did this Gemara say yesterday, this Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, that when you give everything to your wife or to one of the sons, it means apotropsis, does that apply only by a Shchimra, or does that also apply by a Bari? Now, why would there be a difference between Shchimra and Bari? Yesterday we asked the Shchimra of Bari because I was talking about Rabbi Yochanan Broika based on a pasuk v'hoyi b'yoyim hanchilei as banav. But here has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being mechabe. So why is the difference between Bari and Shchimra? See, more explained. Boi Rava b'bari heich. And by the way, that's the reason why this Gemara followed the earlier Gemara, because of the same type of structure. Shchimra shor, what's the din by a Bari? And you'll see a Mirch Hashem later today on the bottom of the Omid Aleph into the Omid Beis, we're going to have yet a third type of parallel discussion, where the halacha is by the Shchimra, does this also apply by a Bari? So, Boi Rav, B'Bari Hech, B'Shchimra, who the Nicha Leid L'Shtam and Mila? When it comes to Shchimra, the reason why the Shchimra says, I'm giving all of my possessions to my wife, or all of my possessions to a particular son, is because he wants the others to go and respect either the wife, whether it's their mother or stepmother, as well as with respect to the brothers. Avabari hakoi il. The father is still around. So even though he is now currently giving this big magnanimous present to his wife and or to one of the sons, since he's still around, he can go and control and make sure that they all show respect. He doesn't have to go and tell them, I'm a shchimer and I'm giving this money away to my wife and or to one of the boys, so that you should go and have kavod for them. Not that he says it, but that's implicit in his appointment. Here it's not necessary. And since he's around, says Rishbam, b'yichabduha me'emasai, they're going to have respect for her, in the case of the mother, the wife, the son, because the father is still around and he's going to make sure. It's not the way you talk to mommy. That's not the way you talk to her. You want to get money? You better be good. So I will bury hakoyim, and therefore there's no reason why he should have to go and try to get people to give her kavod. He'll make sure they give kavod. And therefore it's very possible that now he gives all of the nechasim to either the mother, the wife that is, or to one of the sons, maybe meant as an outright matana, nishkan apotropsis, a real, real live matana. Or maybe the reason why he's doing it now when he is still a bari is because he wants that they should already get accustomed to go and show respect, and not that after the shiva they start thinking about, oh, we got to go and show respect to mommy. We didn't show respect until now. No, no. So he wants them to already be zokin v'rogil by the time his passing. By that time, they already showed respect for her for already from the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever. That's
Murashite. His handing over of his assets, though, only happens at post-mortem. It doesn't happen now. He's only doing it post-mortem, correct? I'm a little vague on this now. Mm-hmm. He's giving the man's healthy.
The question that you're raising is raised by the Rishbam. So if you look at the top line, Rishbam gives you both options. All those that we discussed yesterday.
Right.
That's one. Inami mehayoyim will acher misa. We are reading matana gemori. The mishim kavoida hakoyu yichabdua me emasai. Thank you. Good. That addresses your question. Toshema. So let's try to be a rai legabi bori. Toshema kuisit peirois nechosam li ishtoi. Koyvik suvosam min hakarka. The mechsel shishuravia. Koyvik suvosam min hashai.
The first part of the brayse is really not related to our shaila, because our shaila is in the case of kosov kol nechosov liishtoi. A person normally wouldn't give away all of the nechosim to his wife and or to one of the sons. It must be that he appointed apotropos. However, if in fact he goes and gives his wife 50% or 20% or 80% or whatever, he wouldn't say apotropos. Rather, he wants to go and he likes his wife, he loves her very much, and therefore he's giving her this largesse. The next case is the kosa kol nechosa, which is going to be relevant for our shayla. Okay, but what does the Braisa say in the ratio?
What the Braisa does is talks about whether there is an implicit mechila on a shibud on a ksuva by the fact that the wife receives other presents from the husband. So Toshima, koizit peiris nechosam liishtai. He didn't even write the karka itself. He wrote the peiris of the nechosim. Go to my wife. Goyvik suvasim in akarka. She can continue to go and be goyve her tsuva from the real karka, la'achar moiso, la'achar any get chalila. Then he can go and be goyve the ksuva minakarka. She can go and be goyve the ksuva minakarka. Meaning, the fact that he gave her this present, the peiris nechosim, with that, we do not say that she's moichel ksuvasa. She's still entitled to receive her ksuva. In addition to that, what happens if not he just gives peiros, he actually gives real live guf hakarka, and he's saying, I'm giving you in a particular karka, among all of my karkas, I'm giving you lemech l'shush v'raviyah, a quarter, a third, or a half, which is a very nice amount. Even this might exceed the amount of the ksuva. Makes no difference, because ksuva asam nashar, she can still receive the ksuva from the rest of the nechosim, which he didn't give her, he only gave her Mechashish Raviyah. So there's still left a half, a two thirds, or three quarters. So in addition to that matana, she's entitled to still get her ksuva because she was not Mocheles Ksuvasa just because he gave her this nice present. Again, we'll talk about this more later, but our focus is now on the Sefer. Because of Kol Nechosav Lishtoi, not just Nechosav, Kol Nechosav Lishtoi, gave everything to Ishtoi. V'yotza lev Shtar Choyv, and after that Shtar Choyv came out. Now we have Machloikas Rebleza and the Chacham. So now we have to know the timeline, which Rishbam explains. The Ksuva obviously became effective at the time that they got married. That was the first document. Sometime later there was a Shtar Choyv, a
a year later, 5 years later, whenever, where the husband had borrowed money and now he owes money to a malva, and as a result of that shtar chayv, there's a lien on his properties to pay off that shtar chayv. And subsequent to that, he, the husband, wrote kol nechasim liishtoi to his wife. And guess what happens? She's, of course, initially very, very ecstatic. Oh, kol nechasim, everything, wow. She got all these nechasim. And a day later, a week later, a year later, the malva comes knocking on the door, and he says, Mrs. Smith, yeah, how can I help you? I asked your husband to go and pay off the debt. What debt? Mm-hmm. Oh, you see, this shtar chayv. Oh, shtar chayv from 1983. Wait, what happened? Well, he never paid it. And that preceded his nesinas kol hanechasim to you. He subsequently wrote in year 2000 or whenever, he gave you all nechasim. However, there's a lien on all of those nechasim for my shtar chayv. What happens now? She might as well tear up the matana. We don't mean literally tear it up. It means the matana, unfortunately, is now worthless because she's going to have to pay for that shtar chayv. But she still retains her right to a ksuba. And therefore, after she pays off the shtar chayv from all the nechasim that she has, what happens now? She still is entitled to ksuba. Now, if there are more nechasim left over by the husband, wonderful. Yeah, but didn't you say kosov kol nechasim? Yeah, but in the interim, he may have done further investments. In other words, at a particular age, he gave all nechasim lishtoi. He didn't leave himself with a penny. But Baruch Hashem, this person was a capable, diligent, talented young man. And in no time, Baruch Hashem was able to build a brand new business. And so therefore, says Reb Lezer, okay, unfortunately, she lost the kol nechasim as a result of the shtar chayv. However, she never was mocheles ksuvasa, so she can go back now to the husband and say, I want my ksuba. Or after the husband passes away, she has a right to continue to collect her ksuba from the assets of the estate. That's good. One second. What? Better blessed. The chachamim maimrim tikara ksuvasa. Sorry. You can go and tear up the ksuba. The tamed al matanasa. And all she's going to have as what she can look to is the original matana. If you tell me that she lost the original matana because of the Baal Chayv, the nimtzis karachas mikan umikan, or as we say, kereach mikan mikan. She's going to be bald from both sides. Of course, that's an expression, as you know. Where do you have that expression? You have a man that was married to two women. So that was his first mistake. But anyway, one woman was older, and one of them was younger. So the older woman couldn't take it that she has white hair, and the husband has all of this. He had a mixture of black and white hair. So she pulled out all the black hair, so she looked that they're the same age. On the other hand, the young woman didn't want that he should have all these white hair, so she pulled out all the white hair, so he should look like from her generation. She became kereach mikan. That's the expression that Gemara gives, that kereach mikan mikan, bald from both sides. But the Chumar saying over here is that the fact that she got kol nechasov, even though she didn't verbalize or say anything, it's implicit that she's mocheles ksuvasa. Why? Because where would the ksuva have been paid from? From the nechasim. He's giving her all the nechasim, so there's nothing more to collect from. So therefore, says the Chasid Chum, she was mocheles, and tikra ksuvasa, you might as well tear up the ksuva already from the time that she got the matan. Rishbam says, don't read this too literally, lav dafka. She's not totally moichan l'ksuvasa. She's only moichan l'ksuvasa to the extent of whatever there was there at that time. Meaning, since in the ksuba itself, the loshen of the ksuba is, I hereby mishabit to you, my wife, te kanoi udi osed ani ano lemikni. Not only do I give you a shibit for this ksuba, the 200 or the 100, together with the Toysis Ksuba, etc., on any Nechasim that I have presently, the Kanoi that I have already purchased, which are already in my Rishus, would also in the Limikdin, anything that I intend buying over the years in the future. All of that is Meshubit to your Ksuba. So therefore, although it says Tikr Ksubasa, means vis-a-vis the original Nechasim that the husband gave her, Kol HaNechasim, there the Ksuba is dead. However, it does not take away her right to a Ksuba from other assets that he may have accumulated post the original giving the matona to his wife. And so therefore, say the chacham, the ksuva you can tear up vis-a-vis all those original assets because she was mechalas. But The only thing that she has is that matana, because at the time she received the matana, implicitly she was mechalas. Ah, if she's mechalas, so she's not entitled to ksuv anymore. Vis-a-vis those nechasim. But then says karach mikar mikar. Now she's stuck. What happens if the husband, in fact, did not have new nechasim post giving away all of those nechasim to his wife? Then in fact she's stuck. So you have here from machlokes Reb Lezer Chacham. What Reb Lezer is saying is, Tikr matanos v'tamar ksuvas. Just because she got that matana doesn't mean she was moichel. She was not moichel. She wasn't even thinking of being moichel her shibud. She took the matana, shekoyach, the shtar choiv man came, took away the matana, but guess what? But all the liabilities of the ksuva still stand from the first moment. And those liabilities are extant, and that shibud predates the Baal Choyv. So you could have a situation of like a Mashkiach, Yoytze Menichnes. What do I mean? That she could lose the Matana to the Baal Choyv, because the Baal Choyv's debt is as much as the Matana. But then she can go back to the same Baal Choyv and say, oh, by the way, I have a document that predates your document, and now take away from him what he just took away from her. Or just that the Bezin is going to say, why do we have to in and out and in? Just, you know, let up. Just
so
they
he's
wash.
Never going to get paid Russell. Off, then.
Who?
So he, there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance that he's not going to ever reclaim his.
Anybody that wants to go and lend funds or engage in a business transaction has to do due diligence to find out whether there are any liens on the property. As soon as he finds that there are liens on the property, he has to now make a determination whether there's enough equity left that it should be worth his while to go and make a loan. So if and when he finds out Mr. Smith is now wants to go and borrow money, so he calls his lawyers, he calls his investigators, the FBI, the CIA, the Mossad, and anybody that deals with these type of title searches, and he finds out whether there is any lien on this property. What lien would there be for payment of the ksuba? We say, oh, the ksuba, let me take a copy of the ksuba. He says, copy of the ksuba, $200. The property is worth $1,000. Okay, there's $800. That sounds fine. And then subsequently, after the shtar choyv, a year later, whenever, the husband gives the whole property, bakal micha kol, to the wife, and now it belongs to her. Oh, very good. So now the baal choyv, the maturity date finally comes and goes. I want to get paid. Mr. Smith has no assets. He gave everything to his wife. So he goes to the wife and says, hey, Mrs. Smith, my document predates yours. You're right. She has to go and therefore cough up whatever the amount of the matan is to go and satisfy his loan. But after that, she can say, oh, but by the way, but there's a pre-existing lien prior to that. And that is for my ksuva. So therefore, what you're attempting to take away from me, I'm going to go and take away from you. So it's a sense, it's a wash or a net. That's according to Blesa. Come say no. As soon as she got all of those nechasim, implicit, she was mocheles ksuvasa. Why was she mocheles ksuva? I'm getting all this largesse. Oh, who needs a ksuva anymore? I don't need her. She can tear it up already on the spot. I got plenty of money. But now, unfortunately, they took away that property because of the payment of the shtar chayv. He said, chum, aksuva, unfortunately, she was moichel. Zuntite. The matana, unfortunately, she lost out because the baal chayv took it away. So she cannot try to reclaim her ksuba because she was moichel. Therefore, she's going to be kareach mikan o mikan. And in fact, Omer Yehuda, I'll tell you a real life story. And Reb Yehuda Nachtoy, Reb Yehuda apparently was a baker. He said, "Ma'asav iir hadover babas achoisi kala." I had that very, very incident with my niece, who was also my daughter-in-law. In other words, two cousins got married, and so therefore my niece married my son. She's now my daughter-in-law. And what happened? That he also was very generous and gave her this huge amount. But before that, there was a shtar choyv. Uba'asav nechacham bi'amru. Tikr ksuva, so you might as well tear up the ksuva, because she was mecheles implicitly, but tamar matanasa, and she's going to have to stay with whatever benefit she has from her matana. If the entire matana is going to be taken away, or the vast majority because of that shtar chayv, then says karach mikan mikan, so sad, too bad, she loses.
She didn't do her due diligence.
She didn't do it.
So basically, a husband can cheat his wife, his disliked wife out of his out of her ksuva by being beneficent, giving her everything, but knowing there's a shtar chov looming that can basically snatch away all the assets from her.
In theory, yes. People, unfortunately, engage in deception. But it doesn't mean necessarily that that was a scheme over here.
It transpired. But why the Chacham say the value of the ksuva over the matana is that seniority of the lien.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she implicitly giving it up? It's irreplaceable in giving her that security. Why? By accepting
like an insurance.
Exactly. Why does she? What benefit does she get by giving up that additional intangible security of the seniority of her ksuva?
The margin is not that she says it expressly.
Exactly. So what?
But we say it's implicit. We're going to call it an umdana. If you want, let's look at the Rishbam now.
Okay.
The earlier Rishbam is viyotz. Okay. Let's go back to. About 10 lines in the top. Okay, next Rishba. The Yotzel of Shtar Choyf. It was a Shtar Choyf in between. The Ksuva was first, Shtar Choyf second, then the Matana was third in line in terms of the date line. This is again according to Rebbelezer. What did Rebbelezer say? Diliapis Koychen Nichdu Matana Zu. The reason why he gave her this matana is to strengthen her rights. To go and give her not only the right to the 200 or the toisis ksuva, whatever it says in the ksuva, but in addition to that, all of the chasim.
Yes.
She wasn't moichal, it's like you're saying.
Right.
She never said, and she never even thought about being Meichelis. That's Reb Lezer, and that's Brother Barry, and that's Brother Reno, and Brother Shai, and everybody else over here that's all up in arms against the Chacham. The Bishul Matan Azu, she was never Meichelis. Shintibakal Matan Azu, Bishul Baal Choyv HaKoydim, Tachsa Lei Mikoyah Shem Tzuvasa. If she loses out the Matan because of the Baal Choyv that rips apart her Matan, okay, I still have my existing Shem Tzuvah when we got married. And therefore she says, fine, you can lose the matana, but I still have my ksuba. However, first of all, say Rabban laughed after, don't mean the whole ksuba is tishmetered. She's not moichelis even for any matana. If subsequently he buys me nechasim, in other words, he invests, and Baruch Hashem, he makes more money. Tikva mehen suvasa. Oh, ain't no chanam in the gabi. These nechosim that she's receiving now, she doesn't need to collect her ksuva anymore. She's got daiva hoisa. However, she didn't go and she wasn't moichelet suvasa all together because just in case we have a rainy day and we're going to need more, Mehashem, he's going to make more money. Kiramin lekamam bishmaiten, like we're going to learn in Mehashem tomorrow's daf. Shirikach kosavla. In the ksuva it says, dekanoi, all the chasim that I presently own, u'd'azar n'ilimikdin, all those that I'm going to own. Amano, n'chasim, diyohev lo. But those n'chasim that he gave her, now these are the key words of the Rishbam, machla shimiksuvasa. There she was meichelis. On these n'chasim. Not on future n'chasim, but on these n'chasim she was meichelis. Diminayu leitimiksuvasa. She's no longer going to go and ask for or demand payment of a ksuva from these n'chasim. She already owns it. She's not going to go to her husband. Please, you know, those properties over there that I have my yeshiva in the chasim, I want to collect my ksuba. Darling, did you read the shtar I gave you? You own those nechasim. Go and collect your ksuba from your own nechasim.
Exactly.
She never thinks about it. Well, maybe Baal Choyv is going to go and take it away. That doesn't even come on her radar screen. Hilkach tikrik suvasa legabi hani nechasim shaloi titrif. So that vis-a-vis these particular nechasim that she got in matana, there she waived her lien because now it merged, if you will, into the equity ownership of that property. So therefore, the shibin nechasim went away. She's mochelas. Now, if it's taken away by a shtar choy, by this bal choy, unfortunately, it's unfortunate for her. She's going to be kriach mikan umikan. So, getting back to our Gemara. We're up to the first wide line. So we're trying to be pushed to Shail of Rava, whether when you go and give all of your nechasim to your wife, we know if he did it when he was a Shchimra, he didn't mean to give all nechasim, he only appointed her to be the executrix, to go and be the guardian, to be the apotropis. What about if he did it when he was a Bari? Oh, Sezok Yigmara, Taim Adiyotel of Shtar Choyf. The whole machlok between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim, whether she lost her shibud ksuva, whether she was mechelis or not, it's all because the shtar choyv came in the way.
Kanya, otherwise she would be kinder. She would own this matana that the husband gave her. So let's now analyze it. Where in the spectrum are the husband and wife? Elaine b'shchimra, if you're talking about he's a shchimra and he's giving her a full-fledged matana, and it's saying only if there's a shtar choy that intervenes, then it causes problems. However, without a shtar choy, the matana belongs to her, she owns it. For amrisley herself is a prophet. She doesn't own any of it. If he gave the lotion of the price is cause of kol nechasim li'ishtoi. That's why the rise from the sefer. The Rashi said cause of kois of peiris nechasim. He's cause of kol nechasim li'ishtoi. And Yosel of Shtar Choyv, that's where you have the whole drama here. Does she create Mikan? Yes or no? But if there was no Shtar Choyv, then she owns this Matana. How is she on the Matana? If it's a Shchimra, she's only on Petropis. El Allah Bebori, Muzduch Zan, we're talking about a Bori. So I see from this Lechoyra that the din of appointing an Apotropis by giving away all the Chasim only applies to a Shchimra. Does not apply to a Bori. By a Bori, Shitaka gets it, lock, stock, and barrel. She's not just appointed as the administrator. Everything about, no, you have no raya. Oh, let me talk about a shchimra. Didn't you say it's a shchimra? It's an apotropis. Ravavira mukila bikulu, ravina mukila biishtoi arusa biishtoi grusha. What do we mean? So you remember at the very tail end of yesterday's Gemara, the last four lines after the parentheses, we said that if a person gives all of his nechasim to Ishtei Arusa or Ishtei Grusha, there he intended it as a matana and not intended that she become an apotropis. What's the reason why? So we saw in the Gemara, we saw in the Rishbam, because the whole Indian of giving all the nechasim and making them an apotropis is so that the children should go and have respect for her, and they should go and be nice to her, and they should be mechabed her. That's only by a regular wife, min hanisun. The Tishtei Arusa, she never became so endeared to him that he is so concerned about her covet. You know, it was very nice, you know, this Arusa was beautiful, and then, okay, listen, we go on to the next one. Arusa and Nishtei, you know, it's not, they never had an intimate relationship, and so therefore, we do not assume that this was intended for an apotropis. Sorry?
You have no children.
Well, that's for sure, and they have no children. So you mean we've got to be an apotropis. You could also have a brother, we've got to be brothers. Okay,
stepchildren.
The Ishtei Grusha, what happens if she was a Grusha, in other words, he already divorced her. He is not concerned about her covet at all. Why is he giving her a present? I don't know, maybe he wants to go and be Shalech her and say, you know, go to Australia, I don't want to see you again. But the point is, if he gives her all Nechasim, we do not say he wanted to be Mechabeder. Ah, so that's the case over here. The Kosov called the Kosov the Ishtoi. Who is the Ishtoi? Ishtoi Arusa or Ishtoi Grusha. In such a case, it's a full fledged Ma'atana, it's not an Apotropis. Then it depends whether the Shtar Choiv intervened, yes or not. That's the Teretz of Ravina. Book of Ishtoi Arusa, Ishtoi Grusha. The Masmit Ravavira is really the same thing. Although the Gemara says Rav Avira Muki Lo Bekulu, so that sounds like by all five women. You'll recall yesterday in the Gemara we had five women altogether. If you go back to the Amid base, Ishtei Arusa v'Ishtei Grusha b'Matana, and then the Gemara asks, what about the Bas Eitzel Abadim? Isha Eitzel Achen, the Isha Eitzel B'nei Abal Mahu. What's it then about those other three? So we had five altogether. And so the Gemara said, we have machloek between Ravina and Rav Avira. Ravina Mishmei Derava Bekulu Loikana Levar Mi'ishtei Arusa Mi'ishtei Grusha. In other words, the other three are apotropsim. Only Ishtei Arusa, Ishtei Grusha, there he gave it the Matana. Remember those two, Grusha, Arusa, Matana, the other three apotropsim. Rav Avira Mishmei Derava Bekulu Kani, in all five cases they're koina, except for Isha Eitzel Achim, the Isha Eitzel Abal, where there they happen to be Abutropsim. Ah, so there those are Abutropsim, those two. And then the other two, Ishtei Arusha and Ishtei Grusha, is B'matana. So what's the nafkimina between Rav Avira and Ravina? So remember we learned this yesterday, it's the Bas Eitzel Habonim situation, where they had multiple boys, one girl, she doesn't deserve to get anything. She may deserve it, but the Torah doesn't empower her to get anything, because the Torah says only Ishkiyom is a ven Eloi, but in the close of the Pita, otherwise she doesn't get. So why did he give his whole fortune to the Bas? Is a machloikis, whether he meant it as a matana or meant it as an apotropis.
But other than Basei Tzlebonim, Rav Avira and Ravina both agree that Ishte Arusa, Ishte Grusha is B'matana, Isha Eitzel Achen, Isha Eitzel Ben Abal, then it's an Indian of Apotropis. The only machloikis is that Basei Tzlebonim. So the Rishbam points out, here we're not talking about Basei Tzlebonim, because the Lashon of the Brice is called the Chos of Li'ishtoi, Li'ishtoi. That being the case, both Rav Avira and Ravina agree, when do I say I gave it as an outright matana? Be ishtei arusa, the ishtei grusha. So the Lashon HaGemara really should be not Rav Avira mukila v'kulu, Ravina mukila v'ishtei arusa. It should really be Rav Avira v'Ravina, both of them mukila v'ishtei arusa, ishtei grusha, because there is no machloikis between them that the only potential pshat to end for our riot, in other words, to say that our riot is not ironclad, it's only by Arusa and Ishtei Grusha. It's not by Bas Eitzelabon, because we're talking about Ishtei. And we're not talking about the other two ladies, that is the Isha Ela Eitzelach and Isha Eitzel B'nei Baal, because there everybody agrees that is an apotropa, or there everybody agrees that it's a full, yes, it's an apotropa, exactly. So therefore that cannot be the pshat in our Raisa. So in Bazoi, why does it say Ravir Mukilo Bekulu? Says Rejbam, it's really not mukila bakul. We're just hopping on the lashon of yesterday's gemara. Since we said Rav Avir, which made Rav Amar bekulu gani, so that's why mukila bakul. But the kul is really the ishta rusa and ishta grusha alone. Those are the only two. So there's really no machlokes. They both agree. Anyway, bottom line is we wanted to bring a raya from this braisa that the halacha by Bori is different than the halach of Shechimra. The Baibori, in fact, if the husband gives his wife all of his nechasim whilst he is still young and vivacious, he's still a young Bori, so we want to bring a right. Oh, if it wouldn't be for the Shtar Choyv, she would have all nechasim, it's a matana, it's not an apetrabas. Says the Gemara, it sounds like an excellent raya, but it's not 100%. Why not? Because it could be talking about Ishtei Arusa, Ishtei Grusha, and then everybody would agree that he did not intend to make her an apotropis, but to give an outright matana, even by a shchimera. So therefore we have no raya to our shayla, and our shayla that Rav asked at the top remains an iboya d'loy ifshito. We don't know what the halacha is if a husband gives his wife, when he's a bori, all in the chasin. Does he mean it taka as a matana, or does he mean it just for an apotropis?
Well, Dacho, say it's only in those two limited cases, that's what the Gemara is talking about.
But Gemara is not saying that this is certainly
the problem. It could be.
You cannot bring an ironclad, bulletproof raya, because it could be talking about that situation. Yeah. Okay, since we spoke about this, Gemara goes a little bit into this further. This inyan of the Uymedas, what do we see in the mind of this young lady that we're saying, was she Meichelis, not Meichelis? Like the Rabbanan Paskin against Treblezer. Did you want to remember the Ozer Rav Nachman Vosser Umdina? Wouldn't you think that Rav Nachman would look into her mind and look at her Oymed Das? Her Oymed Das is, why should I go and give away my Shibudim on the Ksuva? Even though I've gotten all in the Chasim, but you never know. Why should I just hand away liens for nothing? Why should I wave them and be mechel?
What crystal quo is there?
Exactly. So, Frank de Gemara, do you tell me that Rav Nachman doesn't care about Omdana? What time do we have a brisa? Hashalot b'nei lemin nesayah, the person whose son went away, far away. Afterwards, he heard that the son passed away, and he was buried and finished. The Omad, and now years later, the father, who had Nebuch lost his son, and now, when it comes time for his last will and testament, he told the lawyers, write it out to all of my good friends, Yanko Smith and Beryl Jones, and this one and that one, because my only son, Nebuch, lost him. And guess what happens? And now the son comes back on the scene, and he says, Ich bin da. Though all of those, what did Mark Twain say, that all of those rumors, Tom Sawyer, whatever?
The reporting of my
premature passing were grossly exaggerated. Yeah, the same thing over here. The Ben says, closely.
Is it post-mortem or not? Is the father already passed away in this case? It doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters. So what happened? Matanos and Matana. It's already too late, you know. He gave away everything, It was Kematan. No, the matana is gunished. Why? If he would have known that his son was still alive, because he wouldn't have given away. It's only because Nebuchadnezzar, he thought, he was convinced,
He read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and he saw obituary columnists, and some passed away. So that's the only reason why that he gave it away to the others. So what is Reb Shimon Menasseh saying? We go basa umdana. We look at the person's mind, his mindset. Would he have given away everything to all his friends and not leave anything for his son? That doesn't make sense. Of course, the son is, he cherishes the son, blah, blah, blah. It's only because he thought he died. So I see that Reb Nachman does go basar umdana, and he says, let's look into the minds of the father over here. And just like Reb Shimon Menasseh says, that if he would have known the B'nai Kayim, he wouldn't have written it. Therefore, the whole matana falls away. So here too, in the case of this lady, if she would have known that she's going to lose her entire matana because she's a shtar choyf, she never would have been Meicheles. So why don't you go and say the same type of umdana according? And this is Reb Nachman, this is Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman.
Right.
Every Marshani Hosam Dini Chalot the Tepik Allah Chalot the Kasvinu Nila Lahanon Chasam. Now you ask what the quid pro quo is. Quid pro quo is she is so delighted to go and get this tremendous largesse, so that in the world out there now she has tremendous chashivas. People say, oh, she's a rich lady. My husband gave her all those chasam, and obviously he trusts her, and he loves her to go and give her show with this great largesse. And presumably, since he left nothing for himself, she's going to help out in paying for the food and the upkeep of the house. So he trusts her. She's honest and integrity. Blah, blah. Because of that receipt of all these shvachim and all the compliments and everything out there, therefore she's willing to go and hand over her the shiba that she had, even though she didn't say it explicitly, but this is implicit. If you would go and tell a person, you tell a woman, you're entitled to the ksuba to go and get $200. But the husband is going to give you now $1 million, which is going to go, forget about the ksuba. Even though she didn't say it, but that's what she would think in her mind. So says our Gemara, since there is this tremendous call that she's getting this largesse, she in fact is Meicheles. Masha Enkin, in the case of the Ben, he was sure that he passed away. So therefore we do an umdana, that if we would have known that if the father would have known that the son is here, he certainly would not have given the nechosim to everybody else. He would have left at least some, if not all of it, for his son. So with this we've concluded this sugya, and now we have the third of the three situations. Which situations? Where the Gemara is going to be convinced that the loch is by a shechemara, then the Gemara is subsequently going to ask, b'borimai, and each time it's the same rov. So we had this already one time, b'birchem abreika. We had this now today, the gabi of Amr of Yehuda Mishmuel, the gabi the din of appointing an apotropis by giving away all the chasim, and now we're going to have a third situation, as you will see. Tanan chasim. We learned in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Masechtas Peah. Hakoyisim nechasim lebanav, the chasim leishtei karka kosher of the ksuvasa. What happens over here? Person had nechasim. He wrote his nechasim to his banim. It doesn't say kol nechasim because, in fact, he left over a sliver of a piece of karka for his wife. That sliver of karka for his wife was less than the value of the ksuvah. So now, in totality, he's given away all his nechasim. Let's say he had three sons, one wife. He gave the three sons 90%, 95% of all his nechasim, and the remaining 5 to 10%, because lishtei karka kosher, exactly, shikishtikala, a little sliver of the ksuvasa. She loses her ksuva, and lachamei v'yasrim, the boys can go and say, mommy or stepmother, you got your karka kosher, you lost your ksuva.
Tough luck.
Now the obvious question is, does this make sense? Because of the karka kosher,
here there's no umdana that because she.
Tazai. And therefore, this is such a difficult kasha. We have three mandiyamim. Omarav. The mezak lehen al yoda. It's talking about that when he was divvying up the property, his wife was present, and the boys were not present. And he said, well, how are the boys going to get their nechasim? I'm asking you, my dear wife, you should be mezak on their behalf. After all, zochel adam shleim b'fanav. Pick up a sudr or make some other kinyan and be zoicha on their behalf. So therefore, it was not just that she was aware of what the husband was doing.
She was
an active participant. She was instrumental in handing over the chasam. Sorry? That's true, but that's a third party. Somebody else gives her something that it belongs automatically to him. Here we're talking about that he is giving to her. If he's giving to her, if you're going to say each time he gives to her that he's coined it, then all of that becomes nonsense. So I'm sure you didn't mean that. So therefore, Rav says it's talking about that he was mezakeh to the boys through her. She's an active participant. What she should have said is, hey, my darling, my husband, these properties that you're giving away
are shibbet to me.
I'm a shibbet to me. So why didn't she say anything? Right. Since you mezakeh, you know what? Then before she's moichel her ksuva of the ksuvas.
We're talking about shimra, though, in this case, right?
So not so simple. Oh, Shmuel, Amar b'mechalik lefaneha v'hi shoytekes. Shmuel says that she doesn't have to be an active participant. A passive observer is all too sufficient. She was an observant Jewess. She sees what's going on. He's handing over all the property to the boys. She should go and scream, hey, what are you doing? She was shetekes. Is a simon that she is moichel and she lost her ksuba. That's the second shot. Rabbi Yosef Bachnina Omar, Ba'oim Allah, Tli Karka Zu Iksuva Sech. He said to her expressly and explicitly, here, this sliver of land that I'm giving you, this should be for your ksuba. And she was silent. She didn't say anything. We're going to talk about that also. Anyway.
She was shocked because she was dying.
Exactly.
She was shocked that he was passing away. Okay, very good. Anyway,
happiness.
Now, this is all because at least he gave her a sliver.
But why are we saying? Why are you imputing to her that she accepted his payment in full? She could have accepted his payment in part.
Well, he says three karkas of biksuva sech. So you
within your in your ksuva, not all your ksuva, bako mikol kol, but biksuva sech.
Okay. Anyway, the Gemara assumes that the usage of Aramaic is slightly different than what you are allocating to the usage, and that when he said biksuva sech, it was understood to mean. For your ksuba. The Rishbam adds in Ushmul Omar, if you look in Rishbam, four lines from the bottom. Ushmul Omar, you don't need to mezakelo like Rav. So if you like mezakelo yoda, she was there, you should take it. The kiv in the kosov lakarka kolshu, since she got at least something, nisratzes, she was silent and she agreed. Ushtikhoi do adamia. Av imloi nosalo klub, if you wouldn't have given her anything, the reason why she didn't protest, she didn't want him to get angry. The husband was going to get angry. You're looking at her. Blah, 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 blah. So she figured, I'm going to be silent. But that's only if, says Rishbam, if she didn't get anything. If she got something, we do not say that her shtika was nachas ruach asis lebali, but we assume that she, in fact, was mecheles ksuvas. So we have now three mandiyamim. All of these three amayroim are explaining why of the ksuvasa, either because active participant, passive participant, or he said take this karka for your ksuvah. Says the Gemara, why in fact do we say this? Top of the amid beis mekule ksuvah shanukan. We're talking about a kula that we impute to a ksuvah. What does that mean? So Rishbam says very simple. What happens if we were not talking about a wife who has a ksuba shibud, but it was a bal choyv? You have malve and a loive, and the loive owes the malve money, and so what does he do? And of course, the shibud on is the chasim, and the malve and the loive are very friendly, that's why the malve lent him the money in the first place. And the loive says to the malve, by the way, today it's a day of reckoning, I want to start splitting up and allocating my assets. Could you give me a hand? Oh, sure, I'll give you a hand. Well, you know I have three sons. I want you to be mezaka for Yankel, this piece of property, and for Beryl, this piece of property, and Shmuel, this piece of property. And I give you a little sliver for your choyv, which is worth less than the choyv. Would you say now, according to Rav, it's mezaka, ayoda, would you go and say, of the ksuvasa, would you say, of the choyv?
No, right here.
Would you say that the whole choyv becomes nevad? Says Rishbam, no, it's only by ksuba. Why by ksuba? Because we find other kulais by ksuba.
Bring them on.
We find other kulais by ksuba. What are the other kulais? For instance, that by kula she can only collect minha ziburius. Masha'in ke legabi abalkoi can collect minha benimus. What's the reason why the chachom were makel by the collection of ksuba? Because of the famous rule, Yoisa Misha Ish Roitza Lisa, Isha Roitza Linase. More than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married all that much more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you agree?
I'm totally in agreement.
Exactly.
I'm totally in agreement.
Unfortunately, we know numerous cases of the West Side in particular.
Especially in the Gemara's time.
Especially in Gemara's time. Why is Bessie Morris time?
Because in Morris time, women didn't have that
opportunity to make money.
They couldn't vote.
Didn't have AOC around.
Anyway, so that's why we make a mixer. Fine. Now, this was the ratio of a Mishnah in Masechtas Peah. Now we're going to the Sefer of that same Mishnah. Tanan, let's continue on. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, in Kibla Oleho, if she was Mekabel on herself. Now, this Kibla means she said the Pem Mole, not imputed, implicit. She said, I am receiving this sliver, and you are splitting up all Nechasim among all the other boys. I am Moichal my Shibud Ksuba. Forget about it. I'm Moichalis. Even if she didn't get anything, Tanakama says, at least she got that sliver. Says Rabbi Yossi, if she's Moichalis, but I'm Mekabel upon himself, then I'm Moichalis, if she didn't get anything of the Ksubas. That's what it says in the Sefer. So now the Gemara is being Madaik. Since Rabbi Yossi says that she's Mekabel even without a Ksiva, Mechlal the Tanakama Sovar, Ksiva the Kabbalah boy. The Tanakama must hold, it's not enough that he gave her a sliver, but she expressly said, I am my cheles on my ksuva. But to that, Rabbi Yossi said, once she's Makab, you don't need the ksiva, you don't need to give her the sliver. If you're without the sliver, she's Makab. The Tanakama said, no, you have to have both, ksiva and kabbalah. And therefore, we're going to ask a kasha shortly. But in the meantime, the Gemara kind of in between says, who says that the Tanakhama requires both Ksiva and Kabbalah? Maybe the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Resha, Rabbi Yossi, if he gave her a sliver and she was quiet, she loses her Ksuva, of the Ksuvasa. And the Sefer, even if she didn't, if he didn't write her anything, if she was Makabel Befeirish, I'm Moicheles, she's Moicheles Ksuvasa. So therefore, what the Reish and the Sefer are complementing each other. The Reish says, as long as you got a shtikla and you were quiet, you were Michael. Kosovla is enough, even with an express Kabbalah. And the Sefer of
Yom says, and certainly express a Kabbalah. Mochel, you're Mochel.
Even if even she got none.
She doesn't have to do a Kinyan?
She doesn't have to do a Kinyan? We're talking about whether it's Shchimer or Bari Namot. So you're going to tell me that it's all Rabbi Yossi, and not like you're learning that the Tanakhama requires both Ksiva and Kabbalah. But Tanya, we have a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is now a Tana, not like the three that we had on the Amid Aleph that were all Amiroim. Hey, Masai, when did the Tanakhama say his aloha that if he gave her a sliver, then she's of the Ksuvasa? But she was there, the kibla aleha, and she was mekabel the pemolei, and she said, "I got this liver, and I am mekabel. What am I mekabel? That I am mecheles my ksur." If she was there and she didn't say anything, she was just shaitekes, she was just quiet, or kibla aleha, she said the pemolei, I accept that I am being moichel my ksuba. Even if she wasn't there. Loi of the ksuvasa, then she does not go and lose her ksuba.
She's I'm a kabel. How can she not lose her ksuba? She said, "I'm mochel my ksuba." She said in front of 2 Adim, you know, a mile away.
Like the Rambam said on the Amud Aleph, Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, what do I see from this? That the Tanakhama, the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, and Rambam says we have other Gemaras to tell us that when Rabbi Yehuda uses the Lashon Eimasai, he's not arguing, he's only being mefarish. So he's being mefarish in Tanakhama. And what did the Tanakhama therefore say? You have to have both a Kabbalah together with a Ksiva. Ksiva, Mita, Kabbalah, Tzadik. And guess what? All of these three Mandi Amrim said, no, you don't have to have a Kabbalah. You just have to be an active participant. You have to be a passive observer. You hear Tli Kakach Zubi, Ksuvaseich. She didn't have to say anything. So Timur, Tiyufta, Dekulu, Tiyufta. All three of these Mandi Omrim are Ogefreit because we have a Feirish Shetana, Rabbi Yehuda that's explaining the Mishnah, not like them. Omeli Rav Rav Nachman, Har Rav, Hashmul, Har Vyesh Rav Chanina, all of these three Mandi Omrim that we now Ogefreit, that we deferred their Pshat, Mar Maisvirle, what do you hold? In other words, Lahalocha. Omeli Shani Oimer, I, says Rav Nachman, hold Kivin Shasoh, Shutev Bein Abonim, of the Ksuvasa. Since the husband made her a shutta ben abanim, in other words, he's being machshav her and saying, even though I don't owe you anything, but I'm going to go and give you a sliver together with my boys. Really, together? Mm-hmm. Boy, that's so nice of you. Mm-hmm. Really? Ah, then she loses her ksuba. It manami omer v'yosef b'myumi omer av nachman ki mishasso shuta ben abonim of the ksuvasa. Aha. So now, what is pshat, what we're saying in this Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman says, I disagree with all of those three. Obviously, I don't want to be ogefreit tiyufta, the kula tiyufta. And all of them are going alibi the Tanakama. With the Tanakama, the way Rabbi Yehuda explains, you have to have both a ksiva and a kabbalah together. However, says Rav Nachman, I really favor Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi says, one or the other is enough. Either the ksiva is enough, or the kabbalah is enough. Why is the ksiva enough? Ki mishasosha to min abanim. That already is considered to be a groisa kovid, a kibbud, that she is on the same status together with the banim, and they have of the ksuvasa. Now, when did this all take place? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah just simply says he's allocating assets. He's koisin the chasal of the banim, the chasal of the ishtai. I don't know whether it's a year after the marriage, 20 years after the marriage, whether she was a shchima or not, shteitnish. Zoki Gemara, boy Rava. Now we know why this Gemara comes here, because it's the third leg of the boy Rava of the Bori Mai. The Bori Heich. Mi Amin Mishchimra, who? The Yoda de Lesle, the Kamachla, of a Bori Sovra Hodor Kani. Oitom Hashemi is Lesle, Teku. Meaning, the whole Svara of this whole Mishnah and Mesechtus Peah, and Rabbi Huda, and the three Madiyaman, and Rav Nachman, all is going based on, was she Mecheles, was she not Mecheles, Ksuvasa. Zok to Yimara, do you say this is talking about a Shechimara, who the Yod de Lesle, she knows that he only has a few minutes, few hours, few days to live, and therefore,
Nachas Ruach HaSolabala.
And, in addition to that, she knows he's not going to make any more money in the stock market or on the lotto or this or that because it's all over. Time's up. Exactly. The clock is...
Except for the Bitcoin.
I'm not so familiar with that. Yeah. Anyway, so that question is that the Torah of Shabbat Oilam, the Torah of Shabbat Oilam. That's another story. Anyway, Mitrame. So me and Mir Mishchim Rahu Diyada to Lesle Vikamachla. She knows that now there's no other assets. She's now given up everything. Three pieces to the son, a little sliver to me, and she's quiet. She was either ksiva or kabbalah. Says Rabbi Yosi that works, and Rabbi Nachman Pasuk is like that. She's meichel. Al the bari savra hoder kani. By bari, she's not meichelus tuvasa. She figures, okay, today at the age of 20, 30, 40, he's giving away all his nechassim. But I know my husband. He works hard. He schwitzes. He works overtime. In no time, he's going to build himself up an empire again. He's going to become a Groisa Knacker. He'll run for the presidency a second time, even if he's bankrupt. I know, he's going to, Baruch Hashem, he's going to go and make a lot of
big money.
Whatever. Anyway, Bori, Savra, Hader Kani. He's going to go and be kind of more Nechasim in the future, invest and build himself up, and therefore I'll be able to go and rely on those future Nechasim. Oy Dilma Hashem Yis Lesley. At the moment, unfortunately, he hasn't left a penny to his name. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the question is, not by Shchimra that we say, the Yoda, and she's Moicheles, because he was Mistarifer, Shutav Bein Abonim, do we say that that's only in the case of the Ksuvah, also by Shchimra, where she knows there's no other option left, and if she's Shetekes and she's Moichel, because of Shutav Bein Abonim, then it's Taka Mechila. Or do you say even by Bari, that by Bari, in other words, only by Shchimra, but not by Bari, because of Bari, she's not going to be Mechelis Ksuvasa, because she thinks she's going to be plenty of more that's going to be coming in the future, and my husband is Baruch Hashem, young and dynamic, so I'm going to have many, many opportunities to get more in the future. Or, Masa, at the moment, he has nothing. He's bankrupt. He doesn't have a penny to his name, because he gave everything away. So the Shaila is, what's it din by Bari? So with this, we have now completed the three legs of our Gemara. The first that we started already yesterday with Yochum and Broika that says, if you are, give ben, if you prefer ben abonim by Shchimra for sure, what's the story by a Bari? And the Gemara concluded based on the story with Reb Nosson of Bavli, who's Reb Nosson, who's the Yesh Oymim, like Brother Barry told us, who had a discussion with Reb Yehuda Anossi, that we said the Bari is exact saying din, that you can prefer ben habanim. That was the first. Then we had the second one that we learned yesterday. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel said, if you go and appoint a wife, and you give, not you didn't appoint a wife, you gave your wife all of your nechassim. He said, well, that means he made her an apotropis. Said Rava, is that only in the case of a shimra, also the case of a bari? We thought we had an ironclad rule from that Bryce. And Mar said, no, because maybe it's talking about Ishtoi Grusho, Ishtoi Rusha. Maybe. It could be not, but it could be. Therefore, we don't have an ironclad, right? And therefore, it's an Iboitli Ifshita. And finally, on this third halacha, where a person is kois in the chasav and he gave his wife that sliver, certainly by a case of Shchimura, she's Makabel. And therefore, implicitly or explicitly, the question is, do you say the same thing on Biabari? Here the Gemara says, take o tishbiatat. So we'll still learn another couple of shtiklach. This is already no longer related. In fact, the Gemara has three Hahudi Omalus, three fact patterns. We're going to learn the first two, and Mitch will finish off the third one tomorrow.
So in such a case, does she have the prior Shiva, this is a boring where it's taken, we're not going, but Halacha L'maisa, she had a presumed lien on the property, one would think then she would be awarded the ksuba from the property.
And not if she's mechalas, if she's mechalas ksuba.
No, but we don't know, so I'm saying we're taken.
It's a mechalas of Rai. She has a clear shibud,
right.
And was she mocha? Wasn't she mocha?
Right.
You know, so, it feels ambivalent, ambiguous, okay.
Yeah, but
tenuous.
She has the shibud, but who owns the property now? The boy.
Okay. Right.
So then they say, well, I'm the mochzik. She's the one that wants to take it away from us. With a spurious shibud, maybe she was my chalas, not my chalas. So they're the mochzakim. She's the moitzi.
Well,
anyway,
if the property was transferred.
The good news is, Eliyahu Navi is on the way.
Okay.
So Shem, we're going to ask him, Teiko, and he'll have all the.
He's going to be very busy when.
Oh, the first day he's going to be overset. Zokti Marvaita, how the Amalahu, Palga Labrat, U Palga Labrat, Vetilsa, Liitis. Itis means like Itza, his wife. He gave half to his daughter, half to another daughter, he has two daughters, and a third he gives to his wife. Now, how can he give a third to your wife and he give everything away? Says Yimara Bipeiri, he gave a third of the payrice away. The Gufa Karka, he gave to the two daughters, 50-50. However, the guy that paid us, he said, a third of the income goes to my wife. What's the din now? There's two girsois over here, which are brought in some kisveyad, the art scroll, but it brings it. Lagabi, whether it's Rav Nachman visited Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda visited Rav Nachman. That, of course, is not the essence. The essence is who is saying, who asked whom. Did Rav Chisda ask Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman asked Rav Chisda. Omaliki Agavdamai, what's the din now? Do I say that she received her ksuba, or do I say no? Because after all, she just got the payday. So what's the story? Of the ksubasa, even if you only gave her one dekel and she accepted it, she loses her ksuba. And certainly over here in the case of the payrois. Now the Gemara assumed in the Havamina that the payrois were mechuber lekarka, and that's why he's bringing a raya from a dekel. Is Omalei, so now Rav Chisda or Rav Nachman responded. At least she got a piece of the property. At least she got a, not the Rock of Gibraltar,
no,
but at least she got a piece of the
pie. A sliver of something.
A sliver of something. She got at least that dekel. And now says Rishbam, he originally thought that the Shaila was the Gabe Peter's Mechubarim. And now he hears Hocha Peter Ba'alma, the Bach adds the word Ba'alma. They're just metaltlin payrois. Oh, Malay, metaltikam. Did you ask him a metaltlin? Metaltivada like ka amina. I certainly was not referring to a case of metaltlin because a shibud of a ksuv is only on the karkaris anyway. So the fact that he gives her a largesse of metaltlin, he gives her a million payrois.
It doesn't affect the ksuv at all.
It doesn't affect the ksuv at all. I thought we're talking about giving away a payrus mechubarim. Ah, so now we get into the old question where the payrus are considered to be a kinya payrus, kinya guftami, lavki kinya guftami.
So we can,
exactly. So we can go and clarify about it. I was going to bring that later at either kufam and gimel and kufam and bov. We're going to talk about biyechon shlokish. But in the meantime, I thought payrus mechubarim. If you tell them payrus metalt, then there's nothing to talk about. Of course, she was not mocheles any part of her ksuba. Another case. Who the amal who tiltzalabrat or tiltzalabrat. A third and a third, the tiltil itis, and a third to the wife. Shchiva chodemi banse. Okay, so now what the Gemara is assuming is, even though a woman is meicheles ksuvasa when the property is given away, what happens if subsequently, like in the case of the bari that we had, what happens if he goes and buys more property in the future? Wouldn't she be entitled to get from that property? Why would she be entitled to get from that property? Because Rishbam quotes here, as he quoted back on the Amud Aleph,
Lashon HaKsuva.
The Lashon HaKsuva is Tikanoi uda osir anol emikni. Anything that I have now and things that I'm going to get in the future. So even though he went and gave away all 3/3, so there's nothing left. However, what happens if he would get new property in the future? She would say, my shibud attaches to that new property, because that's what it says in the Ksuba. I only lost the old property, but not any new property. But guess what? Instead of receiving new property because of
the
investment,
back the other third of the
why? Because
away, he's the yard.
Because unfortunately, one of the two daughters passed away, and now 1/3 reverts back now to the
father.
Husband, to the father. So Rapapi Lameima Loi Shakla Elatotza. She only gets her tilta. She doesn't get anything more. Why? Because she was Mechelis Ksuva vis-a-vis these Nechasim. See, even though the Nechasim came back, but she was gone. Yeah. If he would have bought new Nechasim, wouldn't she have a right to take from them?
So it's like
Shakla, Hashanami Shakla. Here too, he got new Nechasim. The new Nechasim are the
old
Nechasim.
That
was based
reverted
on the thought that he gave it away, but now that she passed away, it reverts back to the father, to the husband, therefore she can collect after all.
Wow. And there's another way that you can
have